Now, if you would, take your Bible and find Psalm 119. I think I have looked at snippets or different sections of this psalm, but never walked through the entire psalm. So on Sunday nights, for the next several weeks, we're going to be walking through the Psalm 119. There are 22 sections in Psalm 119, and all of them deal with the wonders, the beauty, the significance, the power of God's Word. And if we're going to live as Christ followers, if we're going to live lives that honor the Lord, and we've talked about this many times, and I remind you this many times, as often as God reminds me of it, if we're going to honor God with our lives, then we've got to make our lives match God's Word. We've got to surrender ourselves to the power and the authority of God's Word, and we've got to let everything about us be infected, influenced, transformed, whatever word you want to use, by the Word of God. And this psalm, it's the longest of all the psalms, and I believe, if I'm correct here, it's longer than 30 of the books of the Bible put together. It is very long. But man, it is packed with beautiful words and reminders of the sufficiency and the glory of God's Word. And if we are going to be people of the Word, then we've got to be enamored with the Word. We've got to be in love with the Word. And we've got to seek everything from the Word of God, because it is God's self-revelation to us. If we want to know the truth about God, we must know it through the Scriptures. We can't rely upon our experiences. We can't rely upon times of worship and the spiritual experiences that we have there. Those do not give us a true picture of God. Now, it's a way that we relate to God. God reveals His Holy Spirit to us. He speaks to us through worship as we speak to Him. But if we're going to know God and understand truth and understand Him and His character, it must be through the Word of God that we find it. And so I can't think of a better subject to preach on than the Word of God. So we're going to spend some time just looking at the Word of God. And if you would stand with me, we're going to begin in verse 1 and read down through verse 8. And then we're just going to kind of parse out and see what this section, Psalm 119, has to say to us. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their hearts. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in His ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we often use this term blessed in very flippant ways and not really understanding what it means. We all want to be blessed by you, but Lord, you give us what's required for your blessing. We must position ourselves for that blessing. So tonight, Lord, we want to position ourselves. And we want to rightly look upon your word. Lord, we want to be committed to it. Lord, we want to celebrate in it. And Lord, may it be more valuable to us than anything this world has to offer. Anything that could draw our attention. Anything that could gain our affections on this world. God, may we count it, as Paul says, count it all dung, so that we might know Christ Jesus and know you. Lord, we love you. Pray your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and our minds today. Elevate your word in our passions today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This very first section, and as the writer wrote this, many of you may already know, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each beginning phrase in each one of these sections, these first eight verses, all begin with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The second section all begin with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, all the way through the 22 sections that each one begins with a corresponding letter, each first phrase, and each one corresponds. So the writer took a lot of effort in writing this and was just enamored with God's Word. And this first section, I think, talks of the great value of God's Word. And so as we look at it, we want to see, and as I prayed, and my desire is that the value of God's Word would be elevated in us tonight as we look at this section, because we all want to be blessed. We all want to live lives that count for the kingdom. But if we're going to do that, then we've got to live lives that are under the authority of God's Word. So he begins with, how blessed are those whose way is blameless. Now, the first thing we've got to do is understand what it means to be blessed. What does the word blessed mean? Many times you ask somebody, how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, what does it mean to be blessed? So first we've got to define what it means to be blessed. Blessed, oftentimes you'll hear it says is happy. Blessed, happy is the one. Well, it goes much deeper than happiness, okay? Blessed is from the Hebrew word asher, which means overflowing delight, deep-seated joy, or supremely satisfied. That's a little bit more than happy. So he says, look, the one who is blameless in his ways, who walks in the law of the Lord, he is blessed. He experiences overflowing delight. He has deep-seated joy. There is supreme satisfaction in his life. The one who delights in the law of the Lord experiences this peace, this joy, this unshakable satisfaction. Isn't that what you want to live? How you want to live? Don't you want to experience that? I mean, man, we're so wishy-washy in our emotions. We happy one minute and mad the next, you know? Excited one minute, depressed the next. And we're all looking for this sense of joy, this sense of fulfillment, this sense that our life has meaning and purpose, that we get up in the morning and it doesn't matter really what's going on, man, we hit the floor with a sense of excitement about life. And that's kind of what the sense of this word is. It says, how blessed. The one who is in the Word of God, the one whose way is blameless, who walks in the law of the Lord, is truly experiences an overflowing delight, a deep-seated joy, a supreme satisfaction in life that doesn't come from our circumstances, that doesn't come from our stuff, that doesn't come from relationships with people that may be on again, off again. It's our submission to the Word of the Lord and the living out the Word of the Lord. So he says they're blessed in two ways or two requirements here. He says, whose way is blameless. Now, the translation of that word is kind of tricky, because when we think blameless, perfect, right? Never mess up. Well, that just discounts all of us, especially me. So the word blameless here doesn't mean a sense of perfection without mistake, but it's whose way is complete or has integrity. How blessed is the one whose way is the way of integrity, who lives in uprightness, the one who is complete, the one who is experiencing this are living in a way that tries to live in integrity and show in integrity and no, doesn't wishy-wash. And he describes it in the second part of that first verse, who walks in the law of the Lord. Now, what does it mean to walk in the law of the Lord? Does it mean every step you throw down a Bible and step on it? We're walking in the law of the Lord. No, it means the way that we live is governed by the Word of God. It's how we do life. How blessed is the one whose way is blameless. And it's blameless because we walk in the law of the Lord. We do life according to God's word. If you want to experience this supreme joy, if you want to experience this great satisfaction, it can only be found when we're obedient to the word of God. When we live out His word, when our life is governed by His word. The Proverbs tell us this. It says, acknowledge Him in all of your ways. Now, what does it mean to acknowledge God? He's right. He's perfect. He knows best. So in all of my ways, acknowledge who He is. That means submit to Him. Be obedient to Him. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. He will guide you how to live. And so the psalmist here is repeating basically that same thing. How blessed the one who experiences this overwhelming delight in life, this deep-seated joy that's unshakable by circumstances, who experiences this supreme satisfaction of life. This one is the one who is full or is, walks in integrity, who walks in the law of the Lord, whose life is governed by the law of the Lord. Then again, he says, begins with the same phrase for impact and effect. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies. Again, that sense of overflowing delight, deep-seated joy, supreme satisfaction. We get that as we observe His testimonies. Now, what does it mean to observe? Keep. To look at with the intent of understanding, to keep them, to hold on to them, to maintain them. One of the steps in the scientific method is observation. Now, why are you observing something? You take notes at what it looks like, what size it is, how it is. You want to know everything that you can observe, with everything you can know about it. You want to handle it as much as you can. You want to know it inside, outside, upside down, right side up. You want to see it from every way so that you'll know everything about it. That's the same sense here. The one who observes His testimonies, the one who intently looks upon, the one who studies for knowledge and understanding, the one who keeps, takes possession of His testimonies or His commandments, who seeks Him with all of their heart. See, we can't take possession of, we can't observe the law of the Lord. We can't be obedient to the law of the Lord if our heart is divided. That's why Jesus said, no one can serve both God and material possessions. Either you're going to love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. Paul tells us, hey, look, don't be a double-minded person, because they're just flipping and flopping all over the place. If you want to be blessed, then you've got to be all in with God's word. You've got to submit yourself to it. You've got to hold it in high regard. You've got to value it above everything else, because it is where we know God. It's how we understand God. It's how we walk with God. We know Him through His word, and we've got to elevate it in our value system. And it's got to be more important than anything else. And so we've got to live according to what it says. Who seek Him with all their hearts. The result of that is that they will do no unrighteousness, and they walk in His ways. It changes our lives. We seek Him. We follow in pursuit. So therefore, if we're going to seek Him and follow Him, we'll obey Him. It changes us. It transforms our behavior. It transforms our desires. It transforms our thinking. It changes our passions. When we surrender to the Word of God and we hold it in high value and we look at it, man, it begins to transform us. It begins to change us because of the working of the Holy Spirit and combined with His Word. Verse 4 says, you have ordained your precepts. Again, you've commanded. That ordained means to command. You commanded your precepts. They're not optional. That we should keep them diligently. We're not selective or half-hearted. We can't look at Scripture and say, well, I agree with this. I like this. I really don't know that I want to do that, so I think I'll just slide on this and focus on this over here. He said, no. He says, if He has given them to us, that we should observe them, that we should keep them, we should follow them diligently. wholeheartedly, constantly, we should seek His Word. Why? Because that's how we know Him. That's how we understand Him. That's how we're transformed by Him. It's how we're saved. Paul says, no one can be saved unless they believe. And how can they believe without the preacher? And how can one preach unless he's called? It's the Word of God that transforms lives. It's the Word of God that saves souls. It's the Word of God that pierces the heart. And so we have got to hold it in high value. And it's not just for salvation. It's how we live a right life before God. It's how we honor Him and glorify Him. It's as we live in according to His words. We keep them diligently. And then in verse 5, he declares from the depths of his soul, "Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes." As he's writing this, he's beginning to be more and more excited about the Word of God. He's reminding himself of the great value of God's Word, and he just simply declares, "Oh, that my ways would be established to keep your statutes." I see and I understand more the value of the Word of God. Because when I keep them, verse 6, then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. The blessing is found rather than condemnation. Man, a lot of people say, man, I don't want to go to church. I feel bad when I leave there. All they talk about is sin and how you know. Or we read the Word of God and we get depressed. Man, that's so far from what the Word of God's supposed to be. He says, look, God, hold me accountable. God, let me love your Word. Let me live your Word. Let me diligently seek after your Word and submit my life to it so that when I read it, it's an encouragement, not condemnation always. And isn't it great? When you're seeking the Lord, you're loving God, you're trying to live according to His Word, and you're reading His Word, and man, it just is an encouragement. There's so much grace in it, so much mercy in it. And it's meant to be that. Yeah, it does. It's a mirror. It shows our faults. It shows our flaws. But every time God shows us our flaws, He gives us the grace for repentance. And He gives us the opportunity to deal with that and to be changed by His Word. So the author is just, he's reminded of the value of God's Word, and he wants to be able to read it. It says, I want to be able to look at it. May my ways, may my life reflect God's Word, your commandments, so that I can read it and not be ashamed. Then the result, the commitment to God's Word. See, we can read it all we want to. We can think it's valuable all we want to. But until we're committed to live it out, it's really of no value to us. We can say it's God's Word. We can say that this Bible is the infallible Word of God, that everything it's inspired by God, that this is the God's self-revelation to humanity, all these things that Southern Baptists say. But if we don't live it out, if we're not committed to it, all that means nothing. Means nothing. So he begins to declare his commitment. Verse 7, I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Instead of reading it and saying, I don't know if I want to do that or not, before he ever reads it, he says, when you reveal something to me, I'm going to get excited. God showed me this today. Yeah, I'm not doing it perfect yet, but now I can live different. He says, I'm going to celebrate what you show me. I'm going to give thanks with uprightness of heart. I'm going to give thanks by living differently when you reveal something to me out of your Word. This is before he knows it. He's choosing to observe it. He says, I shall keep your statutes. God, show me your Word. Let me read it. Let me understand it. God, reveal to me my shortcomings so I can be changed by your Word, so I can begin to live differently, and I can do what's right in the uprightness of heart. I can walk before you and walk before humanity and let them see the difference you make in the life of a believer, because your Word is greater than life. Your word is of such value that I read it because I want to be changed. I want to be different. And I celebrate every time you show me a new tidbit, a new nugget, a new truth from your word, a new application to something I already knew. I will keep your word. We've got to be committed to it, or the value really isn't there. And then he understands his humanity. He understands his limitations. He understands his frailty. God, I'm committing to you. God, I want to do this. I want to observe your word. I want to keep your commandments, God. I want to hold it in high regard. I want it to be valuable in my life, but I know I'm going to mess up. So he finishes this section with this prayer, this request. Do not forsake me utterly. God, don't give up on me. I want to observe it. I want to live right. I want to let you change my life by it. But God, I know, sometimes I know what I'm supposed to do and I just don't do it. God, please don't give up on me. Don't utterly forsake me. Don't get tired of me messing up. Don't get tired of me going back on my word. God, be patient with me. God, continue to work in my heart. Continue to work on my passions. Why? Because your word is of great value. To live a life that matters, to live a life that's full of unshakable joy, that's full of wonderful, overwhelming delight, and that's full of satisfaction, purpose, and meaning, is a life that's lived according to God's word. And if we are going to be the people that Jesus died for us to be, we've got to value the Word of God. Because everything that we need for life and godliness is given to us in the Word of God. So why would we not surrender ourselves to the Word of God? God, please don't give up on us. We're going to mess up. He knows it. And we need to know it and guard against it. And I pray that we won't, unless you don't, and you don't, and you don't, and I don't, greatly value the Word of God. And you can't value it if you don't read it. You can't value it if you don't live it. You can't value it if you're not willing to submit to every part of it, to diligently live it out. Let that be our commitment to God tonight. We're just going to spend a few moments. Do you have a song, Brother Darrell? Okay, I know that's optional sometimes, but I just want us to spend a few minutes and ask God to help us value His Word more. Maybe you're saying, well, I do value the Word of God. Well, are you reading it often? Is it a joy to read? Are you experiencing this joy that's unshakable? Are you experiencing a satisfaction of life that's got nothing to do with your job, your relationships, or